Evening of Allah, most gracious, merciful and bountiful, Assalamu alaikum. I'm Pragan Alaja, a practicing lawyer and a researcher in world religions. My question to you, Dr. Nayak, is, you mentioned the solitary relaxation of a woman who told the body that she was forced into a marriage and her marriage was allowed to be invalidated. This incident took place years ago, and on the year, if possible, the body. Quran is the constitution of the rights of women and men. Is there a body? If so, name it, which also enforces the precepts and rights. Thank you.
Sister has asked a very good question. She has asked that about the rights of the women. It's very well laid down in the Quran and the Hadith. And if a woman is forced into marriage, the marriage can be invalidated. Is there any body today existing which can invalidate such marriages? There are many bodies, example in Iran as well as in Saudi Arabia. Unfortunately, the Indian government doesn't allow the Muslim community to have such courts. Though there are Muslim personal law, but all the rights are not given. If you request the Indian government to allow us to have such boards out here in India, then inshallah, in India we have such bodies. They have given certain rights on all the rights.
The next question from the chief: is co-education allowed in Islam? This is from Rashid Sheikh, the student. Is co-education allowed in Islam?
Brother asked the question: is co-education allowed in Islam? We can male and female study in the same school, college, or university. First, let's analyze whether male and female can study in the same school. Though the report which came last year in the world this week, and it gives a survey of the schools, both unisex schools as well as co-ed schools in the UK. And the survey said that the overall result of a unisex school was much better than a co-ed school. When interviews were taken of the teachers, they said that students in unisex schools concentrated more than the co-ed schools. When interviews of the students were taken, they preferred studying in co-ed schools than unisex schools. I know the reason very well why. And that survey continued. It said that people in co-ed schools spend more time in becoming popular with the opposite sex. And besides lack of concentration, they gave a very smart answer to the teachers. And they spend more time in dating than in getting education in schools. And the last point of the survey was the UK government was thinking of setting up more unisex schools in the country. According to the American report, it said that girls in schools spend more time in picking up illicit sex techniques from the classmates than acquiring knowledge from the teachers. In India, the same thing is happening to a great or lesser extent. Let's analyze the males and females together in the colleges and universities. All the points I mentioned for schools, they are magnified when it comes to colleges and universities. According to a report of Newsweek, which was published on 17th of March 1980, on page number 50, it said that the sexual assault of the woman in the university was given, and it said, I want to read the full history of that report, because time is short. But the main point is that lecturers and professors, they forced the ladies in the sexual harassment in exchange for a better grade. Same thing is happening in India, in Bombay. And after the sexual harassment, but naturally, the concentration to education goes low. You had incidents last year, which made the headline of the paper, I forgot the name of the college, in which a girl student was raped in the broad daylight by four or five students in the college premises. And out, according to a report which came day for yesterday, in the Times of India, on the 26th of August, it repeated the report of New York Times. It said that 25% of the ladies that go to schools and universities in America are raped. My basic question is, do you want to send your child to a school to get educated, or do you want to send your child to the school to pick up illicit techniques or be sexually harassed? If it's the first, I would advise you to put them in military schools, and there are several of them in the city. Hope that answers the question.
I have an announcement to make. I would just like to inform you regarding this session. We have outside available for sale videotapes of Dr. Zakir Naik, which are available for sale at a discounted price of ₹150 each. The topics covered are this cassette of the Bombay Union of Journalists debate on Is Religious Fundamentalism a Stumbling Block in the Freedom of Expression, when he spoke along with Dr. Vyas and Father Pereira, a Jesuit expert. Then we have Religion in the Right Perspective, given at a place in Nariman Point. We have Islam, the Universal Religion at Mani Bhavan, organized by the Bombay Sarvodaya Mandal. And Al Quran, Should It Be Read with Meaning, lecture given at the SNDT University Hall, Juhu. These are available for sale outside. We also have the Holy Quran, which is available on a hadiya, a nominal hadiya of ₹150 each. This is the English Quran with the text, an English translation by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, along with its commentary. We know that we have quite a lot of questions coming up. There's a lot of interest, enthusiasm, but at the same time, I have to be pragmatic. We have our time limitations. We have with us the next 10 to 15 minutes in which we have to complete this session. I would request we have allow one question from this end, the next on the top, third year, and I think because the women's rights session, will end with the lady on the top. In between, it will be interspersed with brief questions from the kids that I've received. Those who are interested in having further questions, I would like to inform them on this subject or on any subject of Islam and comparative religion, you are most welcome to attend our lectures followed by question and answers, maybe in a smaller setting, on Fridays at 2:45 p.m. for ladies, every Friday that is, and every Saturday at 2:45 p.m. open for all, and on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. open for all, Muslims, non-Muslims, all are welcome. And in a very cordial and open atmosphere, you are allowed to criticize, cross-examine, and openly discuss Islam and its values without offending the speaker or yourself. If you feel you can better educate that lecturer or talker there, we would be happy to be corrected, and we hope in the same spirit you would be able to discuss with a very open mind the problems we face in society and the world in general. The next question, please.
Dr. Naik, my question is, for last 1400 years, 1400 years, only main ulamas have interpreted Quran and Hadith. Also, I have enlightened by your speech in the beginning that Aishagi was a religious scholar and she used to interpret. My question is, how many women, female ulamas or religious scholars are today to interpret Quran and Hadith? Today, how many? What is the percentage? And another thing, I'm finishing. This question arises from the Taslima of Bengal, that when she made a sentence, I mean, Mauli started shouting, there is not a lady ulama to, I mean, reply to this Mauli or take the side of Taslima or anything. We have not read what Taslima said, because we can't get all the literature here in India, either from Pakistan or from Bengal or anywhere. So,
we agree that at the time of the Prophet, there were many ladies who not only interpreted the hadiths, they memorized. And Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she herself has narrated on her authority itself only 2,210 hadiths are based only on her authority. The basic question is, how many ulamas women do we have today? He wants to know the percentage. There are several Lady Ulamas, and there are many Muslim organizations in Bombay, as well as in Darul Uloom, in Nadwa, etc., in several places, as I saw Banatis in Bombay, several Muslim organizations which produce Lady Ulama. Percentage, I don't know. But there are hundreds. Why didn't any, regarding the second part of the question, why didn't any lady support the cause for Taslim al-Nasri? The first question arises, should she be supported? Regarding the answer for the question of Taslim al-Nasri, discuss it available outside in the firehouse. Discuss it, we had a debate in the Bombay Union of Journalists. Bombay Union of Journalists had a debate between myself and Dr. Vyas and Father Pereira as well as Ashok Shahani, who translated in the Marathi Gajja. And many people objected, many people guided me that don't go to that debate, it will be a problem. They will misquote you, and believe me, I have two minds. But finally, my father guided me, take the name of Allah and go and arrange. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, it was only because of Allah's support that the debate was successful. It was so successful that not a single paper reported it. You know that? Not a single paper. There was the Times of India. There was the Indian Express. There was Mahanagar, and Nikhil Vagar himself was there. There was UTI. There was PTI also there. No one reported. Why? Because I did not say what they wanted. If I would have said what they wanted, they would have been headlines. Islamic scholar Dr. Zakir Naik and so on so. Because I didn't say what they wanted, no report. For the full answer, the last
three questions. Is it only the husband? This is from Jennifer. It says, is it only the husband who can say triple talaq and get on and get one? What has a woman to do if she wants to get divorce or talaq?
The sister asked a question that a husband can divorce a woman. She has not asked about triple talaq, that's another answer. But the main question is, a husband can divorce. Can a woman offer divorce? Or can she give talaq? A woman can't give talaq, because talaq is an Arabic word used for divorce when a man gets to a woman, husband gets to a wife. But a woman can divorce. There are five types of divorce in Islam. The first type is by unilateral agreement between the husband and wife. Both may say, okay, we are compatible, let's part. The second type is by the unilateral will of the husband, that's called a talaq. In which he has to forego his mehr. If he hasn't paid it, he has to pay it to her, and including the gift he has given to her. Third type is by the unilateral will of the wife. I repeat, by the unilateral will of the wife, if she mentions it in her marriage contract. If she mentions it in a nikah nama, in a marriage contract, that she has the right to give unilateral divorce, she can give it. It's called an isma. I've never heard of anyone speaking about isma. It's called an isma. Even a woman can give divorce, isma. Third category is, if the husband isn't with her or does not give her equal rights, she has the right to go to a qazi and nullify the marriage. It's called as nikah fasq. In this, according to the qazi, he may ask the husband to give the full marriage or part of the marriage depending upon the qazi. And the last is qulah. That even though the husband may be a very good husband, the wife has got no complaint against the husband, but for personal reasons, she does not like the husband. She can request the husband to divorce her, and that's called as qulah. But very few people talk about women giving divorce to the men. Some of the ulamas have categorized the five types of divorce into two or three different categories. But broadly, there are five types of divorce in Islam. Hope that answers the question.
We would now ask two very short questions again from the slips. Then we'll allow a last question. So Zakir, to give a very brief answer to the question, why are women not allowed in the mosque?
The question asked is, why aren't women allowed in the mosque? And in brief, it's difficult. There is no statement in the Quran or the Sahih Hadith which prevents women from entering the mosque. Some people quote a particular hadith and say, the Prophet said, it is better for the woman to pray in the house than the mosque. It is better for her to pray in the house, in her inner room, than in the house. They are taking hold only of one thought and neglecting all the other thoughts. We should realize the context of the hadith. Prophet Muhammad also said that when you pray in the mosque in congregation, you get 27 times more thawab. So lady questioned Prophet Muhammad, we have got infants, we have got household work, how can we go to the mosque? So in the prayer to this, the Prophet said that if a lady prays in the house, it's better than the mosque. It's preferable for her to pray in the room than the house. With this, she has infants or problems, she will get the same thawab. There are several hadiths which indicate that women were never prevented from entering the mosque. The hadith which says that prevent on the servant of Allah who are female from entering the mosque. And as it says, the Prophet ordained the husband that if your wife wants to go to the mosque, do not prevent them. And several hadiths are there, I won't go into the details, but Islam gives permission for a woman to enter the mosque, but there are separate and equal facilities. We don't believe in intermingling of sexes. Why we don't believe? That's the question of our culture. If we have intermingling of sexes, then as we know what happened in the other religious places, people come more for eating and bird watching than to pray. Therefore, Islam does not believe in intermingling of sexes. There are separate entrances for man and woman, separate places of wudu ablution for man and woman. Man and woman are made to stand separately. And a woman can't stand in the front, because a woman stands in front, but naturally the man behind will be disturbed. In Islam, when we pray, we stand shoulder to shoulder. And the medical doctors will tell us that the female has 1 degree higher, 1 degree higher temperature. If they have a lady next to you, you will feel warm and soft. Instead of concentrating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you concentrate on the lady. That's why in Islam, the woman has to stand behind. You go to Saudi Arabia, women are allowed in the mosque. You go to London, women are allowed in the mosque. You go to America, women are allowed in the mosque. It's only in India that they're prevented. And a few countries close by. You go to Haram Sharif, in Mecca, in Masjid Nabawi, they're allowed. But alhamdulillah, there are few mosques in India, even in Bombay, which have started allowing women in the mosque. Hope the other mosque will follow.
Thank you. Next question.
I would like to ask this question, please. This question comes from a student of College of Social Work. This meeting is on women's rights in Islam. But I believe that most of the questions have satisfied our male audience. As far as practicality, that is an infinite series of arguments will go on if you are going to look at that.
You could put your question, we'll try to satisfy that.
This question...
Put your question because we have a very short time.
This question goes to Islamic Research Foundation. I want to ask that this meeting is on women's rights in Islam, and why isn't there any single woman sitting on the stage? Why do we have male panel only on the stage? And do you believe that if this doesn't satisfy our female audience for whom the meeting is organized?
The sister posed the question that why aren't women sitting on the stage in this function? Because there's no women speaker, dear sister. We have programmed an app on Friday. We have programmed an organization on Friday where the lady speakers and there the lady speak. Here, I'm supposed to speak on the topic and I'm a gent, alhamdulillah, I'm not a female. And the chief guest also, alhamdulillah, Justice M.M. Qadri, and the coordinator, all are men. There are programs in which females speak and we are female speakers as well as female chief guests. Inshallah, when we have a program next time, we invite you for that.
The next question is, if Salah, is it necessary for the husband to take permission of the first wife before marrying the second? In brief, please.
The question poses, is it necessary for the husband to take the permission of the first wife before marriage. It is not compulsory for the husband to take the permission of the first wife before marriage, because Quran says the only reason, the only condition for a person in which he can take more than one wife is he should be just between his wives. But it is preferable that he takes the permission. And it's his duty to inform his first wife that he's married. Because Islam says if you have more than one wife, you have to be justice. And if the permission is given by the first wife, but natural there will be more cordial relationship between the husband and both the wife. But it is not compulsory, except in one condition. If the wife mentions in a marriage contract that I do not want you to take any other wife as long as I'm there, then it becomes compulsory for the husband to take the permission of the wife before marriage. Otherwise, in all of the cases, it is not compulsory, it's preferable.
The next question in brief, please, in one line.
My name is Yawar Hussain. When men and women are not allowed to mingle, says to how women were allowed to mingle in the battlefield in the past.
There was the question that Islam does not allow intermingling of sexes. How come they intermingled in the battlefield? If you heard my speech correctly, brother, I said, even in the battlefield, they were doing job. There was such concession given, if you read Sahih Bukhari, it says that the feet of the women were seen. Normally in the feet are covered. So Islam gives a concession that during battlefield, since women even rode horses, the feet were seen. So Islam gives little leniency, but they're going to mingle, like what they do in the American army. They have to maintain the Islamic ethics as well as the Islamic dress code.
We'll allow this as a last question. The video culture, films, songs, novels, magazine, co-education have filled the present situation with sexual anarchy. Is it recommendable in these circumstances to allow our children, especially daughters, to get married by their own free will? This is Muhammad Aslam Ghazi.
To bring about the question that since in the world of science and technology, and we have so many films on sex, etc., is it advisable to allow the daughter to have her own free choice in marriage? I told you that the parents can surely give guidance, can guide their daughters in marriage. They can't force them. And how do you know that the parent is always right? So here Islam gives permission that the parents can guide their children in marriage, but they can't force, because it's finally the daughter who has to live with the husband, not the parents.
We'll allow last quick one-line question from the top, and then we have the vote of thanks.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Mrs. Razia Khan. According to Muslim personal law, only the father is natural guardian of his children. Why?
This is the question. According to Muslim personal law, only father is the natural guardian. It is wrong, sister. According to Islamic Sharia, if a child in the initial stages, approximately the age of 7, if it's below the age of 7, the guardianship goes to the mother. Because a mother's responsibility is more than the father's responsibility in the initial stage. After that, the guardianship goes to the father. And after he becomes matured, it is the free will of the child. He chooses himself, or she chooses herself, who she wants to be with. But during this course, Islam says that irrespective of the child is with the father or the mother, the child is allowed to meet with both the parents. Hope that answers the question.
I would like to thank all of you who gave in so many questions. I get so many questions in balance, so many people standing on the side. We're sorry we cannot continue on because of time restrictions of this hall. And we would welcome you to come to the IRS, and we would love to answer these questions in humble demeanor. I would like to say that we would love to answer all your questions throughout the day. There are time limitations to this hall. I thank you all. I especially thank Justice Qazi, an eminent jurist, to be present here to speak and support our women's rights program. I thank the hall management, the video team present here, and all of you present who have made this program so lively with your enthusiasm and interest. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakallah khair.